Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. The guest on this show is Elijah Howard. Elijah Howard is an entertainer and stand-up comedian. He's worked in many cities, and he's a great comedian. We're going to go into some commercials, and then we're going to come back to the show.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere.
All right, listeners, we're back. That was the Conglomerate Magazine. I hope you all enjoyed the commercial. Good afternoon, Mr. Elijah. How are you?
How you doing, Angela Butler? Thanks for having me back.
You are welcome. This is your second interview on the show. You received some rather large numbers last time, so I decided to ask you back.
I'll take it.
Yes. Okay. All right. What are the shows that you have hosted? What are some of the shows?
Well, as far as hosting, in my preliminary stages doing comedy, I would bring in a lot of guys I met on the road, and I would host some stuff around Ann Arbor, Michigan. I did some stuff in Chicago. But as far as my comedy career, it's opening up, featuring, and headlining. I've headlined in some places in the Detroit area. I featured in some places in Los Angeles and in Atlanta, and I've opened up for a few people in New York. So yeah, that's pretty much the extent of that.
Who were the people in the city that you opened up for in New York?
Well, Joey, what is his last name? I forget. it's been so long. Like, I mean, I do so many shows, I forget. It was at the Gotham, and it was Joey. It might have been Corolla. I forget. I'd have to go back through my resume, or back through my old show emails and look at that.
Okay, you do that many shows. Goodness.
Yeah. I mean, you have to. Honestly, I don't think I get up as much as I would like to. But I mean, like, you do to get any recognition and to make a dent in the program, you have to get up as much as possible and network as much as possible. So,
okay,
that's the protocol.
All right, okay, yeah. That's the protocol. How long have you been a comedian?
I've been a comedian for 8 years. I started right after my mom passed 9 years ago. I was kind of like in a crossroads of what I wanted to do. I didn't finish college. I played basketball for a little bit. Didn't finish, and I know I didn't really want to work for anybody. I saw where the economy was going, and I figured I might as well take a risk. people always told me I had some talent, so I wasn't really sure what they were talking about. Now I'm kind of starting to realize, you know, like, talent and hard work will equal success. So that's kind of like where I am now, right now in my career.
Could you do an impersonation of somebody?
Yeah, I can do Bernie Mac. that's funny. Everybody always puts me on the spot, and like, it's funny.
Oh,
like,
I'm sorry.
No. I don't have a problem with it. It's funny. People always put me on the spot, but then a lot of people get annoyed when I do it, especially my family members and close friends. They're like, "Would you stop doing that?"
That's rehearsal for you.
Right. But I tell them like this: here, as soon as that $1 million check comes in, you gonna want some money. You mean to tell me I can't practice my craft if you run around here neglecting your kids? You better get on out of my face. I'm the Mac Man.
That's funny. That does sound like him. He's deceased, but it does sound like him.
See, I actually just recently connected with Walter Latham, who actually produced The Kings of Comedy. Walter Latham is an outstanding person. To get off of me for a second, he actually mortgaged everything that he, like, had, like, in his worldly possessions to, because, you know, everything isn't a guarantee, to produce and get The Kings of Comedy off the ground. And, you know, unfortunately, as an African-American male, a lot of our people try to discourage us and say it don't work until it works. And I really am. I've never met Walter, but he returns my emails, and we tweet back and forth, and, you know, we played a little bit of phone tag, but he's an outstanding gentleman, and he's doing a lot for us comedians. And just recently, he ended up having a conflict with a younger comedian who disapproved of, you know, he wasn't really feeling what Walter was doing. And, like, you know, I just wanted to shout Walter, let them out, because, like, I mean, how could you, I mean, like, if you don't like somebody, that means you, as an American, you don't have to talk to him. So, you know, I just wanted to give Walter Latham some credit and some love, because what he's doing, he don't have to do. You know,
oh, okay.
The Kings of Comedy is the highest grossing comedy film in history. So, I mean, like, you know, and then, like, not because I am black or he is black, but it's harder for African-Americans to get stuff off the ground, unfortunately. You know, and a lot of times it's because of people in our own communities. So I'm not going to do that to Walter. I want to say everybody support Walter Latham down in North Carolina. Whenever you see his name, you go to the show and enjoy yourself.
Okay. That's good. That's
yeah.
Real good.
Yeah.
That's very encouraging, and that's good. All right. Have you appeared in any videos, commercials, or films?
Yeah, recently I just did a film with Kevin Hart called Let Me Explain. Kevin Hart is coming out with a new stand-up comedy routine, and I think he toured worldwide with it, but I think the premise is at Madison Square Garden. I can't give you too much about the film because I don't want to get
okay.
in trouble. But
no, I'm
nosy. I mean, but no, it was such a blessing. It was funny. I was in LA at the time, getting ready to go film something with my buddy D.A. Allen. And I got the call, and, like, you get a lot of random calls when you're in Hollywood from really random numbers or black numbers. You're like, man, who is this, man? I'm thinking it's a bill collector.
Okay.
So I'm like, man. So I ended up picking it up on, like, the fourth or fifth ring. I'm like, hello. And they're like, kind of like you, like, is this Elijah Howard? I said, yes, man. She's like, well, we need to know if you're available Friday and Saturday. Kevin Hart is shooting a movie. And I said, yes, I am. Before she can even I didn't know how much he was getting paid or what they wanted us to do. But, you know what I mean? I was happy to be a part of that program and to learn from a guy who's the leader of the pack at this particular time. He was an excellent professional. We were there very late. We were there almost 20 hours each day. It seemed like he never got tired. I don't know what he eats.
Okay.
Well, apparently, you know, I mean, he's a family man, you know, and, like, you know, he actually was communicating okay. with his family while he was on set, and that could be tough, you know, and he always stayed professional. We had a lot of outtakes that were funny, like, but it was just awesome, man. I met a lot of great people on set, I made a lot of great connections, but it's always good to work with a superstar like that.
Yes, it is. All right.
Yeah.
It looks like you
yeah.
wanted to be a superstar, too.
Right. I got a funny story about that.
Okay.
Like, initially, I was doing extra work, but I ended up getting bumped up, and I was able to do some lines. So this kid that he was a stand-in, I was a stand-in. So you stand in when, like, the superstars are getting their rest or they're rehearsing or doing something else because they can't be there. So anyway, his girlfriend... We were having some downtime. We were relaxing, just chopping it up on set. His girlfriend was like, I want to see how much Kevin Hart is worth, or how much money he makes. Let me tell you the premise. So when you do extra work, you make between $50 and $250, which is, I mean, just to sit there and not do very much, that's pretty good money. So
yes.
she Googles Kevin Hart's net worth for stand-up, just for stand-up comedy, and the number came up of $9 million. This heifer had the audacity to say, oh my goodness, he only made $9 million last year doing stand-up? Only $9 million? You're getting paid $100 a day, plus these little snacks they throw us and the food they give us, and you Kevin Hart invited you here. What are you talking about? The dude was so embarrassed because, like, people overheard it, and we were just like, oh, wow, we got to stay away from her. You know, because it's just kind of funny how delusional some people are, and it's very indicative of social media and social hype. And, like, I mean, $9 million. If you gave me $90,000 right now, I would run down the street with no clothes on. I mean, because you know what? I know I would have bail money.
You're funny.
I know you have a church following, but some of the church people couldn't agree with me. You'd be like, hey man, just make it quick. You know. Anyway, so that was my little story from the set. I got a few other stories, but we'll talk about that another time.
Okay. What is your goal as a comedian?
My goal as a comedian is to make people piss off. No, I'm joking.
What are your goals as a comedian? Sorry about
that. My goal as a comedian is to enlighten myself, tell the truth from a reality point of view. It's like the things that people miss or are afraid to talk about, I want to talk about. You know, I want to, and in reference to that, I would like to be paid what I deserve. I don't want anything I don't deserve. I don't want to have something that I wasn't supposed to have. You know what I mean? Because that could go either way. And when you think you want, if you think you deserve something you don't, you're flirting with something that you really don't. It's not necessarily demonic, but it could be. It could turn into something like that. It could turn into something like that real quick. So I just want to just make sure that I'm happy, and then the people around me in my circle are happy. Right, that's where I'm going with the comedy stuff.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Who are the people that you impersonate? I know I had put on my blog talk radio page some of the people you impersonate, but are there any other people that you impersonate, or is it just you stick to certain comedians?
I just started doing the voices like really early on, and it took me a while, and like right now I got a little sore throat, so it's kind of tough to do like the high pitch ones, but you know, I could do Tony Montana, Scarface. Honestly, I had a band director in high school named Robert Albritton. Black man, was married to a white woman, went to Tennessee State. He's probably him and my stepdad are probably the biggest two. Those are my two favorite heroes because no one really knows who they are, but they did so much for people in their community without any. It was almost their pleasure. So Robert Albritton was Robert Albritton was my band director. And he was always on my case, Angela. I mean, this man rode me like Zorro. He rode me like Zorro. And now I understand why he was riding me because, I didn't understand that. Like, I actually hated him when I was 16. And I tried to quit the band. I'll go back to the point later. I tried to quit the band, and I had my letter, kind of like my little letter of resignation, like ready to go tell him. And I never did. He kind of got wind of it. And he was like, you need to shut your mouth and pick up your tuba and be ready to play here in about 5 minutes. And he was so intimidated, I actually tore the letter up and picked up my tuba and went and sat down and shut up. But that's when I actually started impersonating people because I wasn't impersonating him to belittle him. I was impersonating him because he was somebody of honor and he was somebody to be looked up to and somebody to be, you know, like not necessarily reverence, but like he was in that realm of greatness. He taught in Ann Arbor public schools for over 30 years. I'm sure he made a pretty penny, but I think he was underpaid because he showed me the way before I knew the way. Because like now, when things go bad, I kind of understand them. I don't really cry about it. I'm not down about it, especially if I can fix it. You know what I mean? And he was trying to instill that. He was trying to instill that back then, but I didn't want to listen. But like now I fully understand where he was pushing me, especially as a black man. He would always tell me, you're already in trouble. Like, from the moment you come out of your mother's womb, you're going to have issues that other people aren't going to have. So he was trying to teach me that. So I really appreciate him for that. So that's kind of where that stemmed from.
All right.
I was teasing him out of fear.
Okay, we've got some callers. I'm going to go to a couple of them, and some of them just may have called in to listen, but I'm going to go through the first two. And if callers, if you don't have anything to say, just don't say anything, and I'll go back to the conversation or interview with Mr. Elijah Howard. Hello, caller. Do you have any questions for Elijah Howard? Hello? All right, thank you.
Nobody's there.
There's somebody there. I heard them. They just called to listen. Hello, caller.
It's crazy how some people get shy.
I think they just called to listen.
Right.
Because I put the number, you know, out there, so for Twitter show. Hello, caller.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk to Elijah Howard? Okay, I guess now I'm not going to go to any others. Okay. Were you the class clown in school?
That's an interesting question. It depends on how close my mom was to the school vicinity. if I knew she was going to be out of town or if she was at home asleep, I would probably. my mother's no longer with us, but my mom was no joke. So I was scared of my mama. So
Okay.
It was weird because I think I developed leadership mentality. So a lot of times the teachers would kind of allow me to clown maybe towards the end because if I did something, everybody did it. You know, from first grade to I graduated from high school, even in college, a lot of times if I did something. So you know, with that being said, again, like if you take that a negative way, it could be very negative. So I really don't want to lead a negative revolution. So like sometimes, I mean, even though I am kind of loose tongues and loose actions, I actually really do monitor what I say. I don't think people would believe that, but I actually do monitor what I say and do. Like, I mean, because, like, if you knew what I was thinking, half the time, a lot of people wouldn't even say nothing to me. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, I think that it's human nature, Angela. I don't know you personally. You know what I mean? I just know you on a professional level, but we all have thoughts that are impure or maybe a little rambunctious. So, you know, I just try to, you know, like, give people something to work with.
Okay.
You know,
all right. Okay. Okay. We're going to go to break, listeners. We have on the show comedian Elijah Howard. I'm going to break.
A special event can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size. Our creativity and attention to detail turns your ordinary party into an extraordinary event. And Decline provides world-class service. We coordinate quality events. We can provide travel arrangements, accommodations, event sites, caterers, florists, photographers, transportation, hairstylists, and makeup artists, daily itineraries, and pre-event information such as detailed maps, save-the-date cards, and invitations. Being a custom event planner means that we cater to you. It is our job to find the best possible way to present your event. We have been referred to as Dreamweavers. At-risk youth is defined by statute as a child under the age of 18 who meets at least one of the following three requirements: is absent from home for at least 72 consecutive hours without parental consent, or is beyond parental control such that his/her behavior endangers the health, safety, or welfare of the child or any other person, has a substance abuse problem for which there are no pending criminal charges relating to the substance abuse. At Camp Penny, we have found that at-risk youth struggles with complex issues and scenarios that are brought on by peers, mentors, family members, and difficult social environments. Camp Penny understands the increased complexity of today's at-risk youth, hands-on parents. Camp Penny works with nonprofits and federal agencies to find solutions. Today's youth are exposed to a variety of negatives, making them more at risk to injury, academic failure, and poor health. Teens who are likely to be more at risk are usually those that do not have a strong support system at home and in the community, as well as teens who are not coping well with the different challenges that they are facing. So what sorts of programs will Camp Penny have? Camp Penny will provide outdoor activities as a main feature of the camp. There is no sitting around getting bored at Camp Penny. The girls will eat a well-balanced and healthy diet, then get outside for some well-planned and highly beneficial programs. Just the Camp Penny location is a real boost for our children. The beauty of nature may not have previously registered with many city-bound kids. Out in the wilderness, the teens get to commune with nature, observe the wildlife, and tackle challenging physical tasks. That will build their self-confidence and their muscles. If you would like to help or become a volunteer of the Camp Penny Project, please contact us at climb@camppenny.org. Let's save our daughters.
Let's get down to business. So you're having that company function or business function, and you need the proper services to get that business menu pumped. Okay, here's the solution. Call Exquisite Barista Services. Exquisite Barista Services has the experience to create a signature beverage for your business or organization. Services also include barista training, custom beverage menu creation, food and beverage pairing, and so much more. Visit Exquisite Barista Services online at www.exquisiteexpressinc.com or better yet, call 210-701-0143. That's 210-701-0143. Don't take your chances on the other man. Get that grand plan and choose Exquisite Barista Services. When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere.
All right, listeners. We have comedian Elijah Howard on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I hope you all enjoying the show. I like to encourage the listeners to go out and buy a copy of Urban Spice magazine. Your CEOs are Reginald Lewis and Terrell Wicker, and I'm a writer for Urban Spice magazine. I encourage you to go out and buy the magazine and support Urban Spice. All right, Elijah.
I'm here.
Okay. How do you come up with your comedy style? How did you come up with that? I mean, it's unique.
Well, I came up with my comedy style based upon, like, I thought that there was a lot of social issues being neglected. So Dave Chappelle was a huge influence when the Chappelle Show. I wasn't trying to plagiarize, but Dave Chappelle actually made a lot of people popular based upon his team that weren't popular anymore but had extraordinary talent. So there's a lot of social issues, like there's a lot of racism, so I have a lot of racial overtones. I think there's a lot of bitter women. I think there's a lot of men out there that are neglecting their duties as men, you know. So those are things that I make fun of. I think there's a lot of people who go to church but they're racist on Monday. You know what I mean? So I make fun of those people. You know what I mean? I make fun of the people who think – I make fun of the people, or I make fun of stuff that – because a lot of people think we're not watching them, but we're watching them. You know, I make fun of the government. You know, like, I have my opinions about the president. You know what I mean? So it's
okay.
I make fun of a lot of my pet peeves. Like, one of my hugest pet peeves is – so, you know, we all have family members and friends, right? When your family members and friends criticize you for the same crap that they do, because Confucius said the five people that are in your circle, it is a reflection of who you are without skin. I mean, I don't think it's verbatim, but you know what I'm saying? So if you got a group of five people that you associate with, or you have five family members that you associate with, everybody's so quick to criticize or say something out of the ordinary to maybe belittle you or try to bring you down. But, you know what I mean, it's kind of funny. If they're willing to say that about you, how are they really feeling about themselves? So that's the type of message that I'm conveying on stage. It's kind of very upfront, in your face. I'm not saying I want to offend people, but I almost want to offend some people who haven't gotten the message yet.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
So that's kind of like what's going on right now with that, Angela.
Okay, that was very serious. It's funny still.
I think it's not to cut you off. I think it's my duty. Because, you know, as African Americans, we've gone through so much. I'm not the slapstick type. I'm not going to put on no clown face. I'm not a buffoon. I'm not going to give you no soft shoe. I'm going to give you that raw, in your face, how you like me now. Like, you know, since you made the history books, let me show you some stuff that you missed out on. let me add it with a punchline. So now, if you thought that was funny, now this is hilarious.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Where all have you performed at? Can you name some of the places you performed at? And where can my listeners go to see you when they're out in California or Detroit or Chicago? Do you ever come to Florida?
You know, I have not been to Florida yet, but I'm went to Michigan for a little while, and I met a guy by the name of Sam Sword. He played on the football team, and we're trying to get some stuff organized where he's at. And then I got a couple friends in the Tampa area. But I'm open. Like, man, if they don't pay me to come in there and talk for 45 minutes to an hour, I'm all for it. You know, so I'm not I'll even do places. I'll even do redneck bars. I don't care. I hope everybody shows up because it's gonna get live real quick. So anyway, back to your question.
Yeah, it would. Okay.
Back to your question.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as where I've been, Jokes and Notes is a place that I try to frequent when I'm in Chicago. Damon Williams plugged me with that some years back in my preliminary stages. That's a comedy place on the south side of Chicago. Very, very well managed, well owned. A lot of heavy hitters. Bernie Mac came through there plenty of times. Chicago's list is so long, we'd be on the phone for 2 hours. Listen, all the great comedians that came out of Chicago. I mean, Chicago, I mean, they really stick together as well. So, anyway, when I'm in Atlanta, I'll go to the, I'll do some stuff like with Quincy Barnes. Quincy has a lot of different venues. When I'm in L.A., I'm in Flappers next week, coming up after the Super Bowl, and then I'm at Flappers again on the 12th. I'm actually going to be doing some stuff at the Ha Ha Cafe. That's in North Hollywood. I've been more into the acting as of late. I want to get up on stage more because I don't want to get too rusty, but I actually just landed a role in a movie called Infamous. We're still kind of negotiating and playing phone tag and email tag, but the casting director said he wanted to cast me for a part. It pays well, so I'm excited for it to start shooting so I can knock some of these bills down. That would help.
That's always great.
Hold on. I'm going to be honest with your listeners. One, the number one thing as an entrepreneur, and I'm sure you can attest to this or any entrepreneur,
yes.
one of the most things that you will endure is debt. I mean, you got to work to get out of debt and just get above board so you can survive. You know what I mean? So, you know, people think that I got all this and I got all that, but you know, I'm working hard and you know I'm living, but I mean I'm living just enough for the city, baby. Enough for the city.
Well, I just want to say congratulations on your films. I look forward to seeing them.
Thank you. I'm happy. I appreciate you congratulating me. I'm just happy, and I just want to just keep. I want to keep it moving. A lot of times in Hollywood, things fall through, so you can never get too content and too happy and too full of yourself because you got to get ready for the next project and the next phone call or the next email. That's a part of a successful career to keep it moving. You can't catch feelings. You can't catch feelings in Hollywood. You can't be married to anybody. You got to be married to yourself, and then allow other people to be a part of your talent.
Yes,
so,
I understand
that.
Yeah. Did you always know that you would be a comedian?
Actually, I had no clue that I would be a comedian. Sometimes a part of my humility phase is I always thank God because I didn't know at one point in my life I didn't know what I was gonna do. After I quit school and the economy ended up going south, I didn't really know what was going to happen, with me at all. So I'm happy that I made that transition.
Oh, okay. That is great.
Yeah.
When did you first know that you were funny enough for stand-up comedy and entertainment? How did you know?
You know what's kind of funny about that? I've always made people laugh. But now they're just more critical of me. You asked me about the class clown. I'm here with a friend now, and like we used to have a lot of good times on the basketball court. And he's a real huge supporter of mine. And it's kind of funny now. People are just really analytical, really critical.
Supporter of yours? I didn't hear that. Who?
Pardon me. I'm here with a friend now that we played basketball. We came up together in school, and he knows that I was always funny. So like he has no doubts. But a lot of people that or like kind of doubting me, like the people that I meet on the road or people that I met in Hollywood never doubt anything that I'm doing. But the people, like family members and so-called friends, are the people who are saying, well, oh, that's not that funny, you could do better. But that's something that I already know. I mean, like, what, at this particular time, I'm just looking for you to support me because I'm doing something positive, you know, in any way that you can. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So I mean, I always knew I had some type of talent. I'm just happy that I found it sooner than later.
Yeah.
You know, I still got most of my teeth and, you know, most of my hair, so I'm happy about that part.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I'm glad you found your niche to your talent. I'm
absolutely
real glad. Okay. Let's see. Where do you see yourself in 3 to 5 years? Where do you see yourself, God willing? Where do you see yourself?
In 3 to 5 years, I see myself a national headliner. But as a man, I see myself just being a philanthropist, really supporting for my financial triumphs and my spiritual triumphs, and just being a national headliner, being a featured act in movies, guest speaking at schools, juvenile correctional. Where I could just, you know what I mean, because if I'm stepping into that sanctuary, I'm going to tell the truth. So I think that that's really a positive thing. A lot of people can condemn me as negative because I'm so upfront, I'm so opinionated.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. But, hey, no matter where you put the truth, can you hear me?
I cannot hear you. You're fading out.
I'm sorry. I was just saying, no matter where you put the truth, it can never be negative. So that's why I see myself in 3 to 5 years, just, you know, having more outlets, having more a broader audience, and just, you know, just continue this quest, you know, this marathon I'm running.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That is terrific. That is terrific. If you could talk to someone right now who wants to do stand-up comedian, what advice would you give them?
That's a great question. If I could talk to someone who wanted to do stand-up comedian right now, number one, I would tell them to save. I would tell them to save their money. I would tell them to get up at least $2,000 to $5,000, or $2,000 to $4,000, a little nest egg, so you can move to the bigger cities, Los Angeles, New York, Atlanta, perhaps Chicago to start off to get your beak wet. Just remain positive. Know who you are before you get out there. Don't be afraid to tell a shameful story. Just keep your circle tight. Just have the humility, because to be a comedian is a privilege, it's not a right. And I think a lot of comedians abuse that. Man, I'm not gonna call nobody out on this show. A lot of famous comedians, there's a lot of famous people who abuse others and try to high side. And unfortunately, a lot of the comedians I'm talking about are African American. I'm not looking for a handout, but a lot of those guys really make it harder for other people who are coming up. And there's more than enough money to go around. I'm not giving about anything, but my point is, like, come on, man. Like, really? So that's something I would never do. Even if I didn't like you, I would never spit salt on your name and try to take money out of your pocket. I would never do that.
All right.
I don't have that type of motivation. So.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. That's good. Did you get any type of training to be a comedian, or is it just all natural?
Life has been my training. My mama whipping my tail in church. It was training enough.
How do you get a whooping in church?
It's at the beginning of the week. You should be rested. You should be ready to listen. How you do something?
Good fun. Is there anything you would like to say that wasn't covered in this interview? Is there anything you would like to add to the show?
For
my listeners?
I'm glad you asked. I got a couple things. I just want to make sure that everybody that's listening, I mean, because I mean, I don't even know who's listening. But you know, we got an issue in this world, and you know, and it's called ignorance. And I really, for myself, I don't want to be ignorant to anything I should know about. I want to encourage people to not be so judgmental. I want to encourage people to, if someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. I want to encourage people, number one, to find out who God is and what He's trying to, what kind of message He's trying to convey to you. I want to encourage people to, if you have family members who are neglecting you, pray to God to get people around you that can substitute as those family members, you know, and like, and let people into your life, into your heart, and to be, and just be decent people, man. I mean, we all do stuff that's wrong, but at the end of the day, it's a difference between a person that's decent and indecent. So that's what I wanted to encourage, you know, and like God knows I've done some things that was off the chain. You know, luckily I don't have a warrant that I know of. I get surprised before. You be like, man, you like, I'm about to go to jail.
But, you don't have a warrant that you know of? Okay.
Right. Funny.
You're funny.
And I wanted to show some support to a couple of my friends. Number one, one of my best friends, Hani Sabri, he wrote a book called Trumping a Fixed Deck. And it's available on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble's. And it's Trump. His name is Hanif Sabri, and it's Trumping a Fixed Deck. And he has a lot of great things to offer in there as far as poetry, as far as artwork. It's an easy read. You know, it's inexpensive, but it's on Amazon. So you can check him out. He's on Twitter. He's on Facebook. Just real, real good brother. And he's just trying to spread that positive word, man, and enlighten people.
Okay.
You know, so you know, we don't want no trouble over here. We just try. I mean, we don't want no problems. We just trying to, you know. So like, I need Sabri, Trumping a Fixed Deck. If you listeners out there listening, go to Amazon.com and Barnes and Nobles and pick that up. And if you check out the book, write a report about it. You know what I mean? He would appreciate that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And I have another friend. His name is Andre Thomas. He has a clothing line out of Las Vegas called Simple and Plain, or it's called Live at Your Own Pace, and he's doing really, really well out there. Both of these guys started from scratch. They're doing really well in their entrepreneurship. I'm happy for them because I know it was not easy. They're not trust fund babies, so it's even more difficult for them to get their stuff off the ground. And for me, while I'm alive, I'm going to do anything I can to help them. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I want to just show that love to them.
A true friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then one more thing, everybody follow me on Twitter, at Elijah Howard, that's E-L-I-J-A-H, all one word. I just recently did a acting monologue from Training Day, Denzel Washington. If you Google me or YouTube me, I want you guys to check it out and give me your honest thoughts. If you don't like it, that's fine, you know, so
monologue for Denzel Washington?
Yeah, you know, just the
Hello.
I took an excerpt from Training Day, and a friend and I, we filmed it, edited it down, and then we put it up on YouTube. So it's got 500 reviews in 3 weeks. So I'm looking to get 1,000 before the weekend. So if you guys look up a lot,
Okay. Well, that's great.
Put it on your Facebook. I could put it on your Facebook wall once we get off the line. So.
You want to put it on the Facebook page? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler, Elijah Howard.
Thank you.
You are funny, and I know you're going to go far.
Absolutely. Please keep in touch. If you got any leads down there in Florida, I come down there. You know what I mean? We can go fishing and all that. I don't really like fishing, but I'll go just to make people happy. I know people in the south. People in the south think you're weird when you don't want to go fishing.
I like ships, like kind of a cruise. I don't go on the boats. I'm scared.
You're scared?
Yes, I'm scared. I'm scared of worms. I'm scared of the boat tipping over. I'm just. No, I don't do that. I don't fish. Other people I know fish a lot from the area I'm from, but not me. All right. Thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a good night.
You have a better one.
All right. Bye. All right, listeners, we've had on this show, well, it's night now, Elijah Howard. He's a stand-up comedian, and he's really funny. So go out and support the films he's in with Kevin Hart. And thank you all for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Bye. Have a good night.